Okay, well, thanks everyone for regrouping here. Just a couple of announcements. We are going to have a Good Friday service, so that the Dream Center has very kindly allowed us to be here on that Friday morning. And so it'll be at 10 o'clock, our usual time. So we'll look forward to that. Put it in your calendars. Also, something that you can put in your calendars, Faith Mission, Jeff Gowdy, their crew are putting on what they're calling revival meetings. So it's at the end of the month. We've sent out or will be sending out all of the dates in the weekly email, so you can just take a look at that. It's at different locations every night. I think it runs from Thursday through Sunday. So take a look at those. Come support Jeff and Jenny. Come here to come out to hear from God. So. Lastly, council election. We are doing a council election. It'll just be part of our worship service at the end of the worship service at the end of the month. We're re-electing we're posting the names for re-election that are currently on the council. So it's nothing new there. That'll just take a few minutes at the end of that service, but we have to give so many weeks notice, hence the announcement. All right. So that's Joel Cadieu, Don Cartwright, and Marco DeAndred. All right. Would you grab your Bibles? Would you go to the book of Acts, please? And let me pray. Lord, we welcome you to this time. Thank you so much for your word. Admittedly, there are things each time we open it that we don't fully understand. And yet, at the same time, we seek you for revelation, and we ask and even recognize that your Spirit is with us, and you promised that your Spirit would guide us into all truth. So Lord, would you come and have your way? Sometimes truth is holding up a mirror in front of us, and I pray that when we need to see that reflection, you'd help us take good account of what you're putting in front of us so that we can change. But most of the time in this, what we're doing is getting, I hope, a fresh glimpse of who you are, of who Jesus is, of how your Spirit is at work in the lives of people, and getting a glimpse of your heart for people. And I pray that would come through really clearly this morning, that we'd see more of how good Jesus is. We would accept and even embrace that your Spirit works in powerful ways through ordinary people like ourselves. And I pray that we'd take that conviction with us to the next time we meet someone who needs Jesus. Lord, I ask that through this time you'd guide me, that you would grant me your words and your heart for your message, your heart for your people. And Lord, would you make it so that your good seed falls on hearts that are like good soil, and help us to do our part in nurturing what you are pouring out. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're picking up where we left off last week, which is the story of an ordinary guy named Philip who got filled with the Spirit. He was not one of the original disciples of Jesus. He was someone that came to faith sometime down the road, sometime after the day of Pentecost, when the church really grew. And Philip becomes a leader in that early church. And the authorities start to crack down on the church. The church starts to scatter to all of the different places around. And Philip goes north up to a place called Samaria. And I'm going to put up a map up here. If Everett, would you mind doing that? Oh. See, what looks good on my computer doesn't always look good on the screen. And that's, sorry, my apologies. I'll explain this in a minute. But so Philip is up here. See, here is Jerusalem down here, right? Philip is going to go up to a place called Samaria. You can see the scale right here. So Philip goes up. It's about 60-ish kilometers. And it's, as you see on the map there, you can kind of see it. It's somewhat rugged terrain, actually, somewhat mountainous. It's not necessarily an easy hike. So Philip's gone up there to take refuge in Samaria. And he's among people who don't know Jesus. Jesus never went up in that area, well, except once. But generally, he spent his time in the north in Galilee, in the south in Judea, not so much in Samaria. So Philip's there among people who don't really know Jesus. And he's sharing good news about Jesus, and revival breaks out. In other words, there are people who didn't know Jesus who are suddenly being healed. They're being delivered from demons. They are seeing Peter or Philip do signs and wonders. And as we talked about last week, revival breaks out. And to the point where this isn't a worship service that went well, right? This is an event that goes on for days and days and days until the text says that the whole city rejoiced that Philip had shown up with the Spirit and good news. And Philip starts doing baptisms. And then the leaders from the church in Jerusalem find out about what's happening, and they come and make their way up, and they start laying hands on people, and people start getting filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues, and everyone is rejoicing at this incredible event that God is doing among them as he demonstrates his love and his goodness in so many tangible, recognizable ways. And the result of it, as I said, is joy. The city is rejoicing. And what's interesting is the Spirit tells Philip to leave. Look at this. Look at the first verse in our passage. Verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, to the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Go south. So they're up there in Samaria, right? And revival is breaking out. And he tells him to leave revival? Would you want to leave that environment where everyone is rejoicing at the tangible, recognizable presence of God as people are leaving their wheelchairs behind, as people are discovering how much God loves them? Would you want to leave that? Philip's been baptizing them. So what's the next thing that Philip has to do? Remember we said this last week, catching fish is easy, cleaning them is hard. He's got some cleaning work to do. Right? It's time for discipleship. It's time for shepherding people. It's time for teaching them more about who Jesus is and how to live. Philip's got a whole crowd of people who need him, you would think. They're just babies. They're babies in the faith, right? They're just learning about who Jesus is. Like, man, I need more. And the Spirit says, I have something else for you. Would you have the sensitivity to the Spirit to be able to recognize when God is saying something and leave? Would you want to do that? Do we have hearts that will say, as much as I'm enjoying what is happening right now, Lord, and I believe there are very legitimate needs here, and I believe you are using me and would use me, I'll go where you want me to go. Do you have that kind of heart for God? Where what he wants matters more than what you want. Because Philip would have needed that, I can tell you, and he had it. So he tells him to go south. Tells him to hit this desert road. So this is a road that, where did I put my thing? There we go. So Philip has to head, I'm not nervous, I swear. I don't know why that's shaking. Okay, so Philip has to head down from Samaria down to Jerusalem, which is where the trouble started, and then hit this road to going towards Gaza. So he's got to head west, right? So he's got to come this way and then go this way, and he's going to go meet someone there. So that's where we're going next. We're going down to that road. So look at verse 27 and following. So Philip started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasure of the Kandake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Now the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you are reading? How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him in the chariot. Now, this Ethiopian was in Jerusalem, right? He's from Ethiopia, which is way down here in Africa, so he's got to go all the way over here to Egypt and then south. He's got a long way to go. But Philip's coming from up here, and he's taking the same road that this guy's taking. How do you catch a chariot? Do you notice the timing of this thing? They're going the same direction, right? How easy is it to catch someone on the road going the same way you are? And he's in a chariot. And Philip's walking. The timing of the Holy Spirit to make this thing happen is pretty incredible, right? So God is in this, not only in the instruction to go, but in their meeting. And Philip encounters the person that God needed him to leave revival for. Along the way, Philip's had to think about, why on earth would I have left that? What could possibly be so important that I leave the probably hundreds of people for this one person? Jesus tells a story about a shepherd who leaves 99 sheep to go find one lost sheep. Philip just lived that story. Because that's the God that we love and serve, that cares about one lost person. Have you ever been that one lost person? Philip's now seeing this guy through the eyes of God and how important he is. Verse 32, this is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. So he's quoting Isaiah now. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer, which is someone who's taken wool off sheep, right? Shearing sheep. As a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? End of quote. Now the eunuch asked Philip, please tell me, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Do you know what a eunuch is? If you don't know what a eunuch is, this gets a little awkward. So in the ancient world, oftentimes officials would hire or enslave, most likely, people to work in delicate areas or in areas that they needed trust, often areas around women. And so what they would do is they would castrate them, meaning they would cut off testicles and sometimes penis in order to make sure that this guy was safe to be around women, as well as perhaps curbing male aggression, whatever else goes on with it. This is a world without anesthetic, right? You don't get to numb this procedure. And it's quite common. And most people who have experienced that didn't go into it voluntarily, understandably so, right? Often they were kidnapped at young ages, forced into this, had this done to them, and sold. Now, I can't say for sure that that's what this guy went through. I don't know. Some people go into it voluntarily for reasons I would not understand. This guy has worked his way up into a very high position in the government, in his country. But he's living with trauma. Even if he went through that voluntarily, that would be highly traumatic in a world without anesthetic, right? And living with the consequences of the sort of the circle that has put him in, which is sort of outside normal male circles and outside female circles, and sort of there's some loss of identity and sort of a weird understanding of now who I am. And this is like a highly, highly traumatic thing for this guy to have gone through. And he's living with that. And as much as he's in a position of power and wealth and all of this, things have been really hard for this guy. No doubt at all. And further to that, he's been drawn to the God of Judaism, right? The text says that he was just in Jerusalem worshiping. He made a very long trip only to get there and likely discover that he wasn't even allowed into their worship service because eunuchs were not allowed into the temple. So he was drawn to a God that he still was at a distance from and kept outside of the sort of inner circles. And now he's returning to his hometown, probably very likely living with this renewed sense of rejection and being an outsider and reliving some of likely the pain that he's gone through that put him in that. And along the way, he's reading Isaiah 53. Now, with his history in mind, can you see why this passage of scripture is grabbing him? Let's just look at it again. It's speaking of someone who was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And this is a guy who might have gone through some form of kidnapping and being sold into slavery. As a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Because sometimes when you're in so much pain, there's no more scream. And so much fear, there's nothing that can even come out. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Do you think the eunuch was deprived of justice and had a sense of humiliation and shame that he was carrying with him day in and day out? And who can speak of his descendants? Well, this is a guy who would not have children, could not have children, or the relationships, the normal married relationship that makes that even possible. So he's experiencing a lot of relational disconnect as well as this grieving that I'm not going to have kids. And who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth. This prophet died young. It's like his life was stolen from him. Do you think this eunuch felt like his life was stolen from him? Now do you see why God sent someone to this guy? Why it was worth leaving revival for? And what Philip does in this moment is connect this passage of scripture to Jesus, because this passage of scripture is looking forward to Jesus, and says, you're relating to what's going on in this passage of scripture, the suffering, the humiliation, the shame, the torture, the feeling like an outsider, the rejection, you're relating to that stuff? Well, let me tell you about a guy who just went through that and went through it for you. And God said it would happen in advance. And he starts with this scripture and shares good news about who Jesus is with a guy who's resonating with the life of Jesus and doesn't even know it. And Phil just fills in the gaps. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that weird pun. Philip fills in those gaps. And imagine being this eunuch. Imagine reading the scriptures and it resonates, but you don't understand it. It's like there's something here that's grabbing me, but I don't get it yet. Do you ever have those moments reading scripture? You're like, I don't fully understand what's going on here, but there's something here, right? Stay there. Just a little personal preaching moment. Stay there. God has something for you in those times. Read with that kind of sensitivity. And when there are questions, don't just blow them off. Stick with it. And ask God for someone who can lead you through them, who can connect some of those dots for you. Because we're actually not meant to read scripture on our own. It's great that we all have our own Bibles. It was never intended to be that way. Most of human history, they didn't have their own Bibles. This guy does because he's rich, right? But he's got Isaiah, right? He doesn't have the whole thing. Anyway, I'm not going to get into the history lesson about that. We're meant to do this together, right? And you're going to see things that I don't see. The insights that I'm bringing to you now, I didn't see. Someone else shared them with me. They just happened to have written them down, and I read them this week, okay? But we don't do this on our own, right? So the eunuch is resonating with the story of Jesus, saying, I'm seeing how this connects with me. Can you imagine being him, and he is now experiencing, I was reading this passage of scripture that was grabbing me. I knew there was something going on here, but I didn't get it. And someone shows up next to my chariot as I'm reading out loud. Like the eunuch is suddenly realizing God is doing something here and he's doing it for me. Can you imagine just the dignity that he now feels as someone who's been rejected and felt like an outsider and felt not loved and not worthy for his whole life because he's quite different? And suddenly he's experiencing how much God loves and God values him. He's experiencing God's love coming through Philip. As a Jewish man, he'd just been rejected by the Jews, whether explicitly or implicitly, just by way of the temple system being set up and his worship time in Jerusalem being kept there as an outsider, being kept outside, I should say. He hasn't felt welcomed. And then God sends a Jewish guy who says, you know what? I know Jesus, and I know this passage of scripture, and I'm experiencing right now God's love for you because he sent me from revival to you, buddy. That's how much God loves you. Individuals. God doesn't just love a church service. He loves each one of you by name. He knows each one of you by name, and he loves each one of you individually. That's the kind of God we see in scripture. So he's experiencing God's goodness, and he's resonating with who Jesus is. And Philip's just sharing good news. This is who Jesus is. Well, what happens next? Verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And so he gave orders for the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. How did the eunuch know he should get baptized? Philip must have said so, all right? Why would Philip say that? Because Jesus requires commitment, and baptism is the sign of commitment. If you've committed to Jesus, we'll know you've committed to Jesus when you have the wedding day, and that's baptism. Look at verse 39. When they came up out of the water, so you're dunking someone in baptism, and you're rising, you're lifting them out of the water. They're rising out of the water, and they're going up on shore. So when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. but he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. The Holy Spirit just transports Philip like Star Trek, and I am not a Trekkie, but like Star Trek, right, where they beam someone away. Like, Philip gets beamed away. He's here, and then he's gone. Mission accomplished. How did this story start out, Map? Why does Philip have to walk from Samaria to the desert road going from somewhere from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is at least 60 kilometers, probably a lot longer because it's not a straight line? So we're talking about multiple days in order to connect this chariot precisely at the right time. Why does he have to walk when clearly the Spirit feels like, I have no problem taking you and getting you where I want you to go when I want you to go there? This is a rhetorical question, so I'm not asking for you to call out an answer here, but I think that that question is really important. I'm going to give you a moment to pause and to talk to the Lord about that. And I just want to remind you before you do, when Philip walks, when Philip leaves Samaria, he's leaving behind revival, and he doesn't know what he's going to or why he's been told to leave. The only thing he is told is, go to this road. I would like you to spend a few moments reflecting on that and asking the Lord why. Okay, let's pause. Friends, it is so important. It is so important that we learn to walk when we don't have the answers. And all you have is one word from God. It's so important for us to learn that God does not map everything out in advance, tell us what everything will look like, tell us all the reasons for why he's going to have you do what he's told you to do. He just doesn't seem to operate that way. And it is so important for us to become people who are okay being in that space of learning to trust God when we don't know the answers, when we don't see what's coming next, and we don't know the reasons for it. So whether you're holding on to, all I have is this verse from you, God, sometimes that's enough. And we go forward trusting God with that verse. Sometimes it's, all I have is this word from you, God. You spoke this word, and I don't know why. I've said, I think God's telling us to wait. I don't know why. I would like to know. It is incredibly important. And this is a pattern of the way God works in Scripture. He just doesn't lay everything out as much as I would prefer it to be that way. In fact, Joel and Ola and I were talking about this on Thursday, and on the way out, Ola reminded me that God started it off that way with Abraham. The entire story of Jesus, the Jewish people and Jesus, birthed with Abraham, begins with God telling Abraham, go to a land I will show you. He doesn't even know where it is. He's just told to leave. He doesn't know why. He has no clue. This is part of how God chooses to relate to his people. And you can now choose your perspective on that. Are you going to be mad and frustrated about it? Or are we going to trust him that he's good and that he knows what's best and that he's not doing it to be, all that I can think of are crass words. He's not doing it to be like a bully. He's not doing it because he's abusive. He's not doing it because he doesn't love you. He's doing it because he does love you. And he is good, but that this is part of where what we need to develop in ourselves is this willingness to depend on a God who leads one step at a time. And I am preaching to myself just as much as I'm saying this to you, and I know you've heard me say it before, and I'm saying it again probably because I'm still needing to learn it. I need to learn it more than you do. Okay, so I don't have these answers, man. I'm recognizing patterns in Scripture. God chooses to relate to his people on with giving enough for today, right? Manna, right? 40 years in the wilderness and you get food one day at a time. Manna, daily bread, right? Give us today our daily bread, right? He's gonna lead us one day at a time. And when we need the next word, he'll give the next word. He gives Philip the next word when he needs it. But he doesn't send Philip saying, go look for a chariot. He just gives him an address, and that's it. Lord, I pray for the humility for myself and for us, that we would become people who are okay with the way that you operate. who I want to be someone who's humble enough to trust you, and who will hold on to what you have said when that 60 kilometers back in 2 or 3 days ago, and it doesn't seem as clear anymore. This is for us. Amen. This is for us. I was going to end on a different note with some stories of power evangelism and God speaking in some special ways, but I think this is probably more important, that we learn to become people that walk in the dark. I've quoted this so many times, Psalm 23, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil thing, for you are with me. I can't see the way ahead. I'm scared, but you are here, and I trust you. You can trust him with your journey, your recovery journey. You can trust him with this church and why he has us down here for a purpose and wherever he's leading next. And you can trust him when you don't have the full roadmap. I would like a map. I really would. I'm with you, right? No one wants it more than me. Frankly, because I have some responsibility in this, and people are often asking me questions like, well, where's this going? I'm like, I don't know. These are the instructions I got. You know, like, let's have some grace for our leaders here too, because we don't always know. But will we be willing to live in dependence on him and wait for the next word? Hold on to what we got. I got a lot of growing up to do. Right, this is a growing up kind of thing. Learning to trust. Let's do it together. He's trustworthy. And the next time I'm freaking out, you can hold me accountable. Okay, let's worship. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Keep you means like look after you, guard you, protect you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, which means may he make his presence known. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you all the peace you need. He's got it. Keep looking at him. Blessings on you, friends. Have a great week. Anyone wants prayer, conversation, happy to do that. Thanks for being here.